Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Oh, hello, the internet. Yep, it's your substitute teacher coming in, rolling the old AV cart. I don't know what VHS we are going to watch today. Again, I will have to dig through the back of my Sentra to see what tapes I have that we have not seen yet. But with that, I will welcome you to this episode, 3 of season 147 of The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. It's the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, get freaked out, put the top back on, and then try and talk about something else that's a little less pressing or horrific. And then off the top, you know what time it is. We say fuck the Koch brothers, fuck Koch industry, fuck Fox News, Rush Limbaugh, Buck Sexton, especially after that whole comment Rush Limbaugh said. It's all trash coming out of these people recently, but not here. We just have trash takes on pop culture. This is Wednesday, August 19th. 2020. My name is Miles, aka experimental artist, ya boy Kusama, and I am thrilled to be joined by my wonderful guest co-host, someone I like to team up with when it's time for Jack to take a little bit of a breather, the one and only scam goddess herself, my sister from another mister, Lacey Mosley.
Hey, it's your girl, Lacey Mosley, a.k.a. I scam whatever you say I scam. If I wasn't, then why would I say I scam? On the podcast, the phone, every day I scam? I don't know. It's just the way I scam. That came from Walt. Okay, well, his name on Twitter is Water Chestnut the Second, but his name is Scott Birdie. Right on.
There
Sorry,
you go.
Scott. Thanks, Scott. Shout out to Scott. What's poppin'?
I sit back with this mic and these scams and this weed that give me. Anyway, what a aggro track. That shit, I used to scream that.
Yo, Eminem makes music for just like the scariest people.
Yeah, and teenagers, teenage boys too.
Yeah,
like that's why that shit was pop. Yeah.
How do we screaming. Let him get away with that? He just be in his room like, I want to kill my mom. And we just be listening to that?
Yeah, you're like, fuck you, Debbie. And like, my mom's like, you do your homework. I'm like, shut up, Debbie. And so I'm like, I mean, she's like, what'd you call me? I'm like, nothing. Okay, welcome to the show. Thank you so much, Lacey, for coming here. I want to now introduce our guest today, a person who's hosting a show on our network as well, someone who is a dialect coach, someone who is about elevating people's voices quite literally, the host of the Permission to Speak podcast. Please welcome Samara Bay.
Oh my What an intro. Thank you. Yes. Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming by. How are you doing? I love your curtain, your nice backdrop, whatever yes, fabric cute. You've hung is really.
I like chilling in my own little. I mean, this is my podcast studio, but also it's your podcast studio.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know if you guys know how the pandemic works, but yes, I feel very at home here with my fancy backdrop. I know. I mean, I had to create a.
Did you now? Okay, we love textiles and fabrics here. Is that something you got especially for this? Is this a project you gave up on? You had some extra footage, yardage that you're throwing up?
What a delightful and crafty suggestion that is. Mm-hmm. No, I have a for anybody who's not looking.
this is an audio medium.
I guess I'm talking to people that aren't just Miles and Lacey. I don't know.
Right.
It's actually a blanket, and it is from Society 6, which is like delightful decor, whatever website that like is, I think, sort of the sort of thing that artists like make money off of.
Yeah, exactly. You can put up your art, and then they'll put it on anything for you. Print it up.
I was like Etsy, or like
Fancy Etsy. I mean, that's the thing. That's why I was hesitating. I was like, I don't know what its relationship is to Etsy. It's not the same, and it's
not the same. Yeah,
they don't have the artists don't have to do the selling. It's like they take on.
Yeah, kind of like TeePublic or other places. Upload your art, they'll do the rest for you. Just you bring the IP, and we'll slap it on some.
And I have this like I have this general sense that I'm like supporting artists, but I don't know, maybe I'm just supporting Society 6.
Yeah.
But yes, no, it's cheetahs. It's
I love cheetahs.
Fuzzy and cheetahs. And I was trying truly in like very early days of the pandemic when my podcast was like 2 weeks old and we suddenly all had to move elsewhere to create a quote unquote studio with lots of like, you know, soundproofing. And so this was a thing and then it became a thing.
Fantastic. Well, we're going to get to know you even better. First, we got to just give the listeners a little taste of what's coming down the road here on this today's episode. Rather, we're going to talk a little bit about the stars of the GOP convention at the RNC, because right now the DNC convention is kicking off. We have Michelle Obama just basically make people weep by bringing back the return of the bare minimum and reminding us what that was. But the GOP, they're letting you know, oh, okay, you may have John Kasich over there, Kasich at the DNC and other people, or maybe you have the head of Quibi speaking for longer amounts of time than actual politicians. But either way, the RNC is coming with their hits, and we'll get into some of the people, the elevated talents that will be gracing the stage there. We'll also talk about Michelle Obama's speech a little bit. And also, you know, just... you know, the whole WAP phenomenon, you know, Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion really struck a nerve in this country by, you know, deigning to speak about their own desires sexually. And now the results are in. We've seen the smear campaigns and it turns out WAP is unfuckwithable. No matter how hard you try, you cannot stop it. So we'll get into some of those dynamics of it. And I'm actually curious to hear your take on that as well, Samara, because the idea of speaking out as a woman for the things that you like and want and what that backlash has looked like is kind of an interesting dimension to the WAP conversation. Then we'll talk about three of Ellen's top producers. We're starting to see some heads roll as a result of this investigation over there, as well as the aggressive return of pumpkin spiced everything. It's happening and we can't stop it. But you know what? It's that time of the year, so we might as well just embrace it before we get into all that. Samara, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
I had a lot. I'm a podcast host, so I also I had to go through my search history of all of the people that I'm like actually just doing research on, which seemed like the least interesting thing to bring on here ever. But one thing that I found, because I'm also writing a book.
Okay.
Ooh.
I know. Guys. Okay.
Tell me what I
got
to do to get in those notes. You know what I mean?
It's going to be all about you two.
Fantastic.
I pivoted in the moment. You know, 2020 is all about the pivot.
New York Times bestseller.
So, but truly, I was all ready to go to New York and try to sell this thing like mid-late March.
Mm-hmm.
Really well aligned with travel suddenly becoming slightly more difficult. And instead, I actually did 14 publisher meetings over Zoom.
Oof.
Everybody was interested in this. I mean, it's a book about the voice. It's a book about like how, what it is to like speak in public and to, you know, say things like they matter. So I think it's a bit zeitgeisty, if you will. And I totally was like, A, no one is going to care because like there's suddenly a global, you know, crisis. And B, I can't fly to New York and have this like dream week I was going to have away from my family. No offense.
Well, I mean, look.
No, everybody needs a break, okay?
Yeah.
Now you just gotta eat chocolate in your bathtub.
I was like, I have a hotel in Midtown. I'm gonna like treat myself like a person. And then anyway, so all that went away. But truly, there was like a huge amount of interest for this thing. But so I'm writing this book in the middle of a pandemic with no childcare. Highly recommend. Mm-hmm. And one of my most recent search histories was which scene in Wonder Woman I wanted to reference to like encapsulate this thing about how she doesn't have a second of hesitation of like, oh, there's a real world. There's a war going on in it. It's endless. A bunch of men can't solve it. I know. I'll come and fix it.
Mm-hmm.
Which just felt like such a delightful, like, you know, ask a bunch of real world women, like, you know, is this something you're qualified for? And they'll be like, God, I don't know. I just don't have prior experience.
Right.
And she's like,
you just need that Wonder
that.
Woman energy. Yeah.
The confidence of a mediocre white man. She was like,
right?
I'm the one to fix it.
Oh, yeah.
Right. She's like, I just met this guy named Chris Pine. He's my first ever white man I've ever met. I think I can probably do better.
Yeah, right. Damn, he's also called Chris. I thought that was just a stereotype I heard on the island I was raised on that was invisible.
Right, exactly. I heard all men are named Chris.
Anyway. That is, yeah. Interesting. So did you were able to dial
that moment in? I was trying to decide
in?
Between two. Well, I mean, this is also like, it's a little inside baseball because I actually was the dialect coach for her on the second movie.
Oh, okay.
Which
right.
has not
revealed,
yet come
revealed,
out.
Revealed.
Uh-huh. I mean... Okay. It was supposed to this summer, but I don't know if you guys know there's a pandemic.
I heard, yeah. I was looking forward to 1980. I guess it's Wonder Woman 84, right?
Yes, it is. Yes,
great
it
year.
Is. So
great
we like,
year.
Jumped
great
back
year.
In. I flew to D.C. 2 years ago and did a summer because it's supposed to take place in not only 1984, but also in Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And I got to coach her. And then she did a whole other part of it in Europe where they were for another 6 months and they had a different coach for that. So just to be, you know, really,
yeah.
I don't want to. Take credit.
Well,
which
I
is not
you know
due,
what?
But
as a podcast, we will give you credit for everything
credit
Gal Gadot does now,
thank
including
you.
The video of when they were all singing to camera during the pandemic.
Yeah, we're gonna give you credit for that too. I heard you were the dialect coach for when everyone did the Imagine.
No, you guys, I literally was like, should I text her and tell her?
You're like, this is
fuck. I know. I had like six people write me and be like, how's Gal today? And I was like, stop!
You're like,
stop.
Like, I don't know. Look.
I don't know.
I'm not actually like her influencer.
Yeah, I heard right, you right. in the back, like, it's imagine all the people.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I heard you by was the in
way,
the back.
By the way, voice coach for speaking, not for singing.
For
by
singing.
The way.
No, right,
I'm adding
right. okay,
singing.
Gotcha.
I'm adding singing to it. I'm adding
I'll hire you
to
for
it.
That too, based on the strength of that work.
But no, if she'd like run like the tonal, the like tone deafness by me, I would have had some opinions, but whatever.
What is something that you think is overrated? Something you're looking out there and go, oof.
Okay, guys, I'm going to be... Okay, first of all, this is a little like on the DNC because I watched the whole thing last night. Mm-hmm. So, or whatever, 2 nights ago.
Good
so,
for you.
I know. I was really
not,
into
I cannot,
it. Okay.
I cannot do it.
I mean, obviously, this is like my jam because I was thinking, professionally speaking, you know, I had on my podcast Permission to Speak, Sarah Hurwitz. She was Michelle Obama's speechwriter for all the entire, and Barack's, I should say, for
and
all
Melania's.
The years. Yes, and in fact.
Right, exactly, right.
Melania was like, I'll get the free version.
Yeah. She's like, someone turn on the captions on this YouTube video and write them down.
We're going to hear hers at the RNC and it's going to be Michelle's. It's going to be
right,
I hope
right,
it is.
Yeah.
And
she's going to be like, it is to... what it is.
Yeah. and then the duck lips.
Yeah.
So my overrated. Okay, this just came to me, and I feel like I'm just going to say something kind of controversial. The Star Spangled Banner.
Oh, no, you're right.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, it's...
Come
it's,
on in. The water's warm.
What is it about? What? I'm sorry. Some war that... No,
yeah.
I
plus
I don't
the slavery references that didn't make it to the version we sing out in public.
The radio know? Edit I mean, leaves out the whole paragraph about slaves and how they'll never be free.
Yeah.
Well, it's like a perfect example of how like tradition, quote unquote, wins out over like common sense and like evolving as a culture.
Right. And then just
watching
doing the
all
thing.
Those kids, watching all those kids with different, you know, with like trying to like show the diversity of America, singing this fucking lame song.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, no, overrated. And it's very much like America where it's like, yeah, we love this song. It embodies everything. And they're like, what about all that racist shit? All right, just cut that part out and ignore it. And then we'll pretend that never happened because this is America. Like,
because we have to hold on to our ramparts, guys. Yeah, right.
Can I just read it?
What is America without the ramparts? Oh my God, please, please.
It's no refuge could save the Ireland or enslave from terror of flight or the gloom of the grave. And the star-spangled banner in triumph doth wave over the land of the free and the home of the brave. So, like, literally the end of the song, right before they ended, they were like, wait.
Hold on, got a rhyme.
About slaves.
Yeah. Hey, rhyme slave with brave. Shit.
I'm like... I did not know that.
Yeah,
I know that.
This is, I think you caught on to something even deeper that it feels old, but it feels dated. And like, why do we need it anymore? Like, we're so.
I'm sorry. Just even put, my brain is breaking. Even putting slave next to free.
And wave and brave.
No, I mean, you got to hand it to them with the rhyme. They were like, how does any other song top this? Because ours,
Francis
I don't know
Scott
if you guys
Key,
have ever heard of such a thing, rhymes.
Bars,
Scott,
as they said
on the
back
keys.
Then. Yeah, exactly. Keys on the track. Like, yeah, he has a little, like, Francis Scott music. Like, a right. little drop, like, Maybach music. What should we replace it with? What's a thing that, like, you feel like most American, I mean, at this point, because I was reading the takes about how a lot of right-wing, like, racists were like, I guess I have to boycott Dolly Parton because she backs Black Lives Matter. I'm like, are y'all that sad? You couldn't even... Y'all, you're going to have nothing. Although they say that on Twitter, and then they're like just crying to Jolene at home.
That's right. That's right.
Homeboy from the Squidbillies just got fired for doing that.
Doing what? Taking shots at Dolly?
Yeah. He took some real shots at Dolly, called her a slut and all types of, for backing Black Lives Matter. Stuart D. Baker, and they fired him, honey. But Squidbillies is like a very racist, like kind of like making fun of like racist old tropes, that show. But I didn't know that he was like about that life.
Yeah, I was like, yeah, it's easy to watch because they're not taking it seriously. Like, oh, so there's some real Squidbillies in there.
Yeah,
okay.
He said this freak-tittied old Southern bimbo and called her a slut for forsaking her own race, culture, and heritage by supporting Black Lives Matter.
Oh, wow. He's a full-on white supremacist. Damn.
Oh, yeah.
He's a whole-ass white supremacist.
Also, going after Dolly, that is not going to end well.
She's wonderful.
You guys, this is like so accidental pluggy, but today my podcast drops with Shima Oliai, who's the producer of Dolly Parton's America. She gave me like so much about what it was like to just like be in the room with her, find her.
Samara, I'm just going to call you on any given day. I'm going to be like, how does this intersect with your life? Because I know it does somehow.
Right.
I just can't help it.
I've got to know your secret.
I feel like this is why you had me on the Daily Zeitgeist, right? I'm like, my finger's on the pulse.
We planned it out. Yes. And we're like, I feel like this will be the day will be the exact convergence of everything that's going on.
You mentioned Dolly. I didn't, but I'm like, I can't not point out that like after you listen to this, head on over because.
Yeah, because we got something for you.
Dolly Parton's America was an amazing podcast series from last year. But the whole point of it is that like everyone loves Dolly. Don't fuck with Dolly.
Yeah.
So, like, sorry to this dude.
Sorry to this, to everybody. What do you think is something that is underrated?
I'm going to stay on theme and say misting up at Democracy. Mm. I got really
Big
misty.
Move.
Like, the entire DNC, even before Michelle, I was like, I don't know. I just felt really... It is, you know, I felt hopey changey, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I felt a little hopey changey.
I haven't felt that in a long time.
No, for sure. For sure. And I'm like,
what did it feel like?
Seriously grabbing it where I can get it. I'm not saying it's there.
Yeah,
you know? I'm saying it's in me.
But what did it feel like? Where do you feel like it came from? Like, what moment do you feel like you were like, ooh.
You know what? I honestly feel like.
Eva Longoria?
Okay, wait. Don't make fun of me. I coached her. Not for this. But I did coach her. And I was like, Eva, you're killing it.
Everybody.
I had who came up with Eva for hosting this? That was so, was that not the
she's
randomest?
Been, no, because she's been working with the DNC since like the Obamas. So she's really like, she campaigned super hard for Barack. So she made her little foothold, honey. And she's out here.
Senator Longoria is pretty
soon.
Being
like the host alone on one of those sound stages, that's like a, I don't know. I mean, I appreciate it. I also worked on a show, on her show that she directed and produced a few years ago. So I very much know that she has like a lot of hats. And
right.
I think of her as like the actress from Desperate Housewives, but she's actually like a fucking boss. So it, nothing surprised me about it, except that I was like, of all the people in the world, I'm so.
Was the feeling for you is that we're in just like such a dark, shitty, like negative democracy fucked up period that just the mere glimpse of something that looked
That's right.
overtly racist leadership.
That's right.
Was like,
it was literally, I'm going to tell you this. It was this, like, talk about the bar being low. It was literally just people being actually honest, like saying things that are actually true. When that woman came on and talked about her dad's only pre-existing condition when he died of COVID being that he trusted Donald Trump, I was like, ooh, oh my God, thank you.
Yeah. There's a lot of hot takes. I guess that's the thing where I get like, frustrated is I want then the follow through, which is like, okay, and then when you're in office, like all those sentiments you expressed about like sort of the basic like levels of humanity that we have to extend to every person, can we now articulate that into our laws to make that real rather than something like we just like, it's a thing that like I it feels really good because it's a great thing to reach for, but in a way you're like, we're like reaching for like what's at eye level or actually lower.
Well, also, which is what Michelle talks about. I mean, the fact that, like, and honestly, the word decency got used so many times, but it's like a lovely reminder that, like, humans can be human to each other, which, you know, I mean, the news makes us feel like that's not possible. So I was like, yes, I'm here for you. I'm tearing up. What can I say? You know, I'm like, but I kept noticing. I was definitely like, oh, well, yeah, I'm really, really, really trying to, like, I'm trying to be sentimental about this.
That gives me hope, because I think that people, where we need to get Democrats at is, like, look, we both know that on the each side, everybody's peddling us some bullshit. Politicians, eventually they get too steeped in their own shit. They try to come up, and they're no longer, you know, servants. They're people who are serving themselves. And that happens on both sides of the aisle. So, you know, whether it's Republicans trying to stew up racism to get people energized to vote, and, you know, on Democrats, it's like we stew up decency and kindness and love and hearts, and then they get in there and they sit on their asses and they don't do what they're supposed to either.
Then you go to like Obamacare and like the Republicans like, well, that's too much. Like, yeah, you're right. Okay, so we could dial that back. And
right.
What? Y'all just went in there saying that was a right. And now.
And now it's this, not. Yeah, so it's the same thing. But right now, you know, I've been doing a leg 2020 campaign, which recently went viral on TikTok.
Did it?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I'm not on the ticking and the talking.
Gen Z loves Leg 2020, which is, I love it so much. Leg 2020, in long and short, is that Joe Biden once talked about police not shooting people, innocent civilians, in the heart, but perhaps shooting them in the leg. And so that's what I look at this election as, is like, Trump is a shot to the heart, Biden is a shot to the leg. So it's Leg 2020, baby. And so I'm actually excited that you got really galvanized by the DNC. I know you said you feel like it's corny, but I think it's amazing because we need people to be excited about voting. Even if it's just you're voting out this crazy person, we have to be excited about doing it.
I know. That's fully it. I mean, I'm excited. I was excited. Like, yes. I mean, I think I was feeling like they were talking to Americans, not just to me. Right. And so I want other people to obviously be excited as well. And the other thing that they kept, they like quite a lot of the speakers, including a lot of the people who ran against him for, you know, the Democratic nomination and didn't get it. Did this really moving video about all the ways that he would, like, in between the commercial breaks when they were all fighting with each other, would, like, come over and say things like, your idea was really good.
Because he knew he already won.
He said that to Cory Booker, and Cory Booker cried, and then I cried, and I was like, fuck. but what I really mean is, look, I am so on the same page with you with Joe Biden. He is A, problematic, and B, not exciting. But I think he's a good listener, and I think that that's actually, like, so underrated right now. The fact that he would collaborate, I'm like, collaboration 2020. Like, sign me the fuck up.
Right.
Just please end the nightmare 2020. I mean, please.
Correct.
And then give us a moment to inhale so then we can exhale fully and then do really roll up our sleeves and start really taking up for, like, working people, poor people, and other marginalized people. Because it's interesting, like, for a lot of the things that the people that are going to be talking at the convention, the amount of people that you want to speak directly to, like, the ideas of poverty and things like that in this country just aren't really there. Like, I know there are a lot of, like, well-meaning people, but we also need to elevate, like, the voices in the leadership roles or people who are making strides to make that, like, a real thing versus having John Kasich and being like, hey, man, like maybe some we can get some Republicans to see the light. It's like talk to like actually disenfranchised people who like who need to be connected with their power and understand how they can also participate. And we can all take this up together. But that is a whole long other podcast that I have not made yet. But maybe I will soon. Moving on to the next one. Finally, what is your myth, Samara? What is something that people think is true that you know to be false?
I mean, I'm always here to talk about vocal fry.
Mm.
Ooh.
Vocal fry and upspeak, y'all.
What's the myth?
I mean, the myth is that when you speak with vocal fry or with upspeak, they are different from each other. So I don't want to put them in the same exact category, though I'm happy to talk about more. But you know what I mean? But the myth is that when you speak with vocal fry or upspeak, you undermine yourself. No one will ever take you seriously, quote unquote. So many people have told this to me. And so many, I mean, as a coach, as well as a, you know, podcast host, like this is this thing that my guests who are often, you know, experts in their field or whatever, big, like public figures will tell me in the break. And I'm like, wait, can we do this on air? Because everyone needs to hear that
right.
As you're coming up, like well-meaning straight white men were taking you aside and saying, honey, you're never going to get taken seriously if you use upspeak. You're making all of your sentences sound like questions.
Ugh.
And the reality is, you know, there's two realities. The reality is there's two realities. One is we definitely can like add more tools to our toolbox. We can notice what our habits are and you know, different things work in different rooms if you're trying to like be heard by the old guard. And the other reality is, like, we're changing the fucking world. Get out of our way. And if we use vocal fry and upspeak or fill in the blank anything that is a marker of your, you know, your age, your race, your gender, your nationality, your group, your tribe, mm-hmm. like, that's us. That's us showing us. Mm-hmm. So, hi, welcome to us.
Does so basically, Barack Obama
yeah, so
use
fuck
upspeak?
The speech police.
Does Barack Obama use upspeak?
It's a great question. I think there's two different versions of upspeak. So one of them is where you sort of habitually, accidentally end all of your thoughts with a question,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. like that is a habit. It's a habit we pick up from our friends. It is not something to demonize. It's just something to notice and be like, do I do this all the time? Right? And you can make a recording and listen back and be like, does it bother me? If it doesn't bother me, fine. Honestly, Gen Z coming up, it feels so normal to them that they hear that and think leadership.
Right.
So I just want to like put a pin in that, right?
Wow.
And then the other way, right? Same thing with vocal fry. Like, this is that sort of generational thing where the older people look at the younger people and say they're ruining the English language.
Yeah.
And I just kind of want to be like, hey, hold on. What's up?
It's like, you know, the linguistic equivalent of like.
What do your parents tell you?
Yeah.
That vocal wants to talk equivalent. Like we're in the pictures.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. What were you going to say, Miles?
No, it's like the vocal equivalent, like, pull your pants up.
Yeah, exactly.
Why are your pants
100%. Like, 100%. And no one remembers that the older generation was telling them, you know, that like right. the word copacetic was going to ruin the world or whatever. the Wait, other part of vocal fry, though, or sorry, the uh-huh. other part of upspeak okay. for Lacey's amazing question is that, actually, I just did an example of it. If we have a long thought, we do an upspeak in the middle to show it's not the end of our thought yet. And then maybe we go down at the end.
Mm.
So we're using, we, you know, native English speakers are using pitch all the time to show like I'm in this part of the thought. I have a little bit more to go. Oh my God, I have a little parenthetical over here. Then I'm going to come back to where I was.
Sure.
We do that when we're feeling comfortable. By the way, we get super monotone when we're not comfortable and we start like losing our audience because they aren't getting those markers that they need of like, where are you in the thought? So Barack Obama does a lot of upspeak, but it's in the middle to be like, so this thing's happening, and now I'm going to settle it.
Yes.
Oh, bump, set, spike with the
right,
vocal
which is
fry
a little different
upspeak.
Than I'm setting it up, and now I'm going to settle it.
Uh-huh.
Which you're like,
right, that is
wait,
different.
But
yeah.
is it set? I mean, it leaves people feeling like, is it done or isn't it? Which is part of why, you know, whatever. Well-meaning
right.
straight white men are like.
Any tips for Donald Trump and his speech?
No.
Okay.
His tip is continue to like speak and like hang himself, you know, with his own words. Like whatever,
boy.
Dude.
Who knows how effective those that will even be. But we'll get into that after we take this quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back, and to all this convention talk, just want to take a moment to spotlight some of the thinkers, some of the luminaries from the right that will be speaking at the Republican convention, because it's truly, truly an impressive roster they've put together. Since it is the racist fourth quarter, and it's time to just bring out all the tools to try and win this game. It turns out that actually the roster of speakers looks more like it's just stacked with culture war icons and people that symbolize the violent rejection of our pleas for equality. So one of the first people we caught wind of that is going to be speaking at the convention is the MAGA teen himself, Nicholas Sandman, who was the boy who wore the MAGA hat and then was in a face-to-face confrontation with a tribal elder and then sued CNN and the Washington Post, who he just settled his multi-million dollar lawsuits with. I don't know how caked up this kid is now. He settled. CNN settled his $275 million case. The Washington Post settled his $250 million case. We don't know what the settlement was for, but they settled. So I don't know exactly what he is going to bring to this presidential convention, but maybe he will talk about how hard it is to go to private school and then maybe scare the rest of America being like, well, you know, Kamala Harris will make everyone start using S-curl on their hair in this country and texturizer if she is in the White House. I don't
Everyone's
know exactly
getting a
what
perm 2020.
Yeah. Everyone is getting it's like, and if your baby hairs aren't laid, you will go to jail. So the other thing, I really don't know what the point is of him. But I think it's really just this whole thing of like you put a kid up like that who they're like, they completely got him wrong because the full context of the video, granted, like, shows a little bit more than like what was sort of cropped out. But the fact is, they're going to just prop him up there to be like, you see, liberals hate our great nation, and they hate everything about America. And I think that's the sort of the you know, role he will serve.
Can we? When was that video? Because in my mind, it was like 7 years ago already.
Yeah, the magazine. It honestly, it was probably last summer.
I mean, in addition to all of the other larger atrocities, I also would like to say relevance.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so we have him going.
Well, I just want to say quickly, mm-hmm. We made him famous. Liberals made him famous.
Yeah.
And it's our fault. You guys, we have to stop trying to freaking, we talked about this on this podcast before, stop trying to dunk on Republicans and you know, racists, because you're giving them money. We just gave this boy millions of dollars and he's a piece of shit and it's our fault. Stop retweeting this stuff so that you can dunk on somebody. You're making them rich.
So what would you do? Nick, the magazine shows up. You just, it's about, like, what you're saying is to resist that temptation to just sort of have, like, the ego stacking of being like, yeah. Well, if he's down here racist, then I'm going to be up here for having a take on his racism.
Because what good does it do? Racists aren't reading, you know, white fragility. They don't give a fuck about being better. So you're not teaching anybody anything. If you're at the actual protest and you want to come up to the little boy and, I don't know, give him a shaking, then absolutely. But if you're on Twitter, all you're doing is trying to get likes and retweets. And guess what? You're getting him likes and retweets too. And now you just got the little boy paid. We all have to stop. That other blonde woman, all them blonde women who say stupid stuff, that black lady with her dry ass hair, we got to stop talking about her.
Which we one? Have oh, to Candace?
Stop. Yes, we have to stop empowering them. You know, yeah. She's got more fire patrol. She should have more fire patrol than, like, California. Like, in our brush fires, her hair is drier than the brush, honey. It can go up in flames at any moment. See, and I'm doing it right now. We have to stop.
See? But that's what I'm saying. To your point, though, can you do it? Because I'm not trying to put you out there, but I have a feeling if you saw some shit you knew you could have a funny take on, you would be tweeting that shit, too.
I really don't do it when it comes to white racists. I stopped doing it a long time ago. You'll never see me retweeting them. I think I have dragged Miss Dry Hair once or twice. And Terry Crews, obviously, because he can't just sit there and eat his steroids. He always got to be talking. But even that, I'm trying to limit it.
I see. Well, yeah. The thing is, like, to your point is, the outrage makes these people culture war figures on the right that then they can then all rally around. Because that brings us to the next duo of speakers. Hold on to your butts and your trigger locks, because people at the convention will also get the opportunity to have the shook white couple from St. Louis that pulled guns on protesters that had mustard stains all over their shit. They will have a chance to get their takes off as well. And I these people caught fucking felony charges for like waving guns at people for no reason. And again, because everyone is sort of like, you got to have these culture war people, because I think the elegance, if you even want to call it, and what the RNC is doing is they want to put in analogs for the average American person to be like, I could have been Nicholas Sandman. You know, like, my son could have been Nicholas Sandman. My parents could have been these people who pulled brandished weapons to, like, motivate them more to sort of feel like, these are the stakes because of the libs or Black Lives Matter or whatever boogeyman thing they're using to, you know, maintain white supremacy.
So it's just viral racist, where are they now? Like, then what next? We get Amy Cooper's dog.
Yeah, right?
The dog is leading, like, the happiest life ever back at the pound.
It's doing, like,
she
a
got
nice
new
family.
What? Yeah. She got that dog back, like, a week later.
What?
Oh, y'all didn't know that? Amy Cooper got the dog back.
What, did she threaten to sue or something?
I don't know what happened, but they gave her the dog back, child. Because I was watching and I was pissed. But they gave her that dog back, so I think the dog could show up at the RNC as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Backyard Barbecue Becky.
Oh, yes.
Like all the early viral racist people. So you have Barbecue Becky, the other woman who's like, do you live here?
With your Black Lives Matter. I need a Karen mascot. Someone needs to be dressed up as Karen, leading the Karen.
Oh, yeah. Like,
a kick line. There could be a kick
line.
Like
Millie rocking on the stage and shit. They're like, oh, we got the Karen mascot. Hitting them folks and shit. I could see that happening. I mean, it's just sloppy. And it shows you, you know, and I think this is a good time to just pivot to what was going on with the DNC and Michelle Obama's speech, which for about 17 or so minutes, gave a really like, you know, to your point, Samara, like, she comes out, she's like, I hate politics. Okay. Like, I just, but every now and then I have to come out and just speak to everybody because I'm seeing things that I don't like. And here we go. It was really something else. It was really just on some like, y'all, the fuck is going on right now? Like when Barack and I left, like shit was okay. And then now this, and you're fucking around with the idea of having another 4 years. Oh, no, no, no. This is all kinds of bad. Please wake up. They are trying to steal this election. So if that means you have to pack a breakfast, lunch, and dinner in a paper bag to stand in line for hours, then you might have to do that because this they are not playing on the right. Like, they are actively trying to steal the election. And I think that was a very poignant, like, the way she expressed that was, I think, a good thing for many people to hear, that it's not just about, like, you have to vote. There's an added layer on top of this election where, seemingly, based on intelligence reports, you have cooperation and interaction with Russian misinformation and the president talking about it, senators retweeting it, the tampering of the postal service. This is not a fucking game. And I really appreciated that. And then just like the other stuff was also bummed me out so bad because a lot of the pleas she was making to like the country was essentially just a return to the bare minimum of how to treat human beings. And it was like bittersweet in that like it's moving to hear that and then to really realize that we're speaking from a place where we're absolutely failing to do that as a nation, to take care of each other, to actually have the overarching sentiment within Americans to be, if someone is not doing well and I'm seeing that and there's a way for me to help, like, let's try and figure out a way to help, because there's plenty of money within these borders to do it. It's about changing things internally. Now, I don't know how much I can count on either established party to sort of upend those dynamics that would put people over shareholder value and profits. But I think it's a thing that people need to start putting in their minds to at least begin letting go of a binary of like Republican and Democrat, and more of just like, can we all adopt a feeling that there's a base level of fairness and equality, and that just strive for something like that. But I'm love to hear everybody else's thoughts on her.
I think I'm just in the mindset of like what you said. It's like greatly disappointed that we're like, okay, y'all. So what we want is y'all stop killing each other. And I don't know. Be kind. Stop running each other over with cars, cops. Maybe stop murdering everybody. Like we're asking for so little that it's like deeply disappointing. But I think that everyone needs to look at voting like your act of protest. It's not about getting rock hard for a candidate this time around. It's literally
getting that WAP going.
Getting that WAP. Look, you're not gonna have no WAP when you go to the polls. Okay.
Leg 2020. Yeah.
When you take leg 2020 to the polls, your pussy gonna be dry, and that's okay. And that is okay.
Just don't put the biggest Mac into your garage.
Yeah, right.
But you know, it is an act of protest. And it's crazy how much, you know, Donald Trump has really warped the minds of people, even when it comes to the USPS, of him saying like, oh, it's lost $8 billion. It's a service, bruh. Are we saying the military has lost $700 billion as of 2019?
No. But
we don't even know
Raytheon.
What the military does on a day-to-day basis. Nobody gives you, at least I know when my mail gets somewhere that the mail came. Nobody's telling me what the fuck the military is doing overseas. Nobody's like, here's y'all military
update. I never thought of this. The military is like business to business. Like, there's no customer. So we have no idea.
No.
What are you guys doing?
No.
Right.
How do we,
and
you know,
oversight?
How do we know that they're doing a good job? We've had wars that have spanned
decades.
How
you tell?
Like, what's, I'm
you know how well
satisfied.
They did. Look at how destabilized the entire the Middle East is. That's how you saw the job the military did. There's your receipts right there. And
now,
it's absolute
help me
death
as a
and destruction.
Customer.
Absolutely nothing. It's micro-militarism, these campaigns of like conquest that make no sense for the United States government, that are just like,
and
a
also
way to
trying
be, like,
to outsource or whatever the word is, export democracy, when clearly like
no,
we're
want
not doing
oil.
So great at it at home.
We don't even have it. That's what we learned over the past 3.5 years, is that we never had democracy. We never had it.
And it's a shame because the post office, like the mail carrier that I grew up with, is probably the most familiar representative of the government to me, of like of some kind of federal anything. I don't have any relationship with politicians aside from maybe working ones when I was working in politics. But like someone who like I care about I've never cared about like my neighborhood watch police officer who, like, when I became a teenager, started treating me differently because I was like no longer like cute, like Blasian kid, but like, what's going on? Like, it's I the only relationship I have was like with my mail carrier. She's like been there, like, she brought me my college rejection letters and shit, you know? And she was like, hey, she's
memories.
Like, yeah, she's like, I'm not gonna lie, bro, these ones are light. And I'm like, ah, damn. All right, well, I guess I'll figure it out later. Or like, you know, waiting for packages and shit that I was like, oh, these sneakers or fucking whatever the fuck it was. Like, I give a fuck about her. It's interesting to think that for most people, your mail carrier, that like, if you lived in one place for long enough, you probably do at the very least someone you said hi to. And it was like, you know, maybe gave them a Christmas card. Hopefully you do because they deserve it. But like, I feel like it's just going to be a really interesting relationship to try and break Americans up with, because I just know personally, like, I feel very like about this as a very narrow service of the United States government. Like, I have a relationship to it and the people that work there.
I will say this about the post office, because I was reading a thread about on Twitter about like why the post office is important. And obviously Twitter's not necessarily always the most reliable source for information. But there was a guy who worked at a funeral home there. And I did some research into this. I think it's true. But he was saying that USPS is the only way to send people ashes of their loved ones if they're far away. And so he was if we don't have this, then I'm not going to be able to mail people their loved ones if they're not close enough to like pick them up. Which I was like, whoa, I didn't even realize.
Wow. It's so, cursory searches do reveal that. Yeah. And especially right now, man.
Oof. I think there's some new news from this morning that DeJoy, I cannot believe that's his name. Yes, DeJoy.
Yeah, Louis DeJoy.
Is changing his tack.
He definitely said words. I don't, because it's like one of those things where you trust, but you have to verify the fuck out of that shit. Because when you look at the amount of machinery and equipment and the ability to do overtime to sort the mail has been taken away. And I know he's saying, like, obviously the most important thing is that we will deliver that, and the part the Postal Service plays in this election is major and we will not mess around with that. That is a good talking point. But until we hear less reports and, you know, the cries of help from the actual postal workers who are saying, like, the morale is so low. Like, mm-hmm. the one thing we pride ourselves in as this organization is that, like, when the mail comes in, we process it and it's like we get it done, and we just do it because we love the job. There are people who have to wake up like just after 1 o'clock to open their local post office and like begin get the machinery going to keep the mail flowing. So yes, I like, it's a good soundbite, but I think all too often we are soothed by the soundbite and we don't actually get the real remedy coming through. So,
And I just looked that up. It is true that the USPS is the only way to send those things.
Legally.
Legally.
I just went, that's why I just put that caveat out there, because there is a way to get it done, you know?
Miles, what are you up to?
I mean, let's put in.
What's your ash experience?
Although what you do is you pack it up in some cellophane, get that shit brick packed, and then put some Vaseline on the outside, then another layer of cellophane, duct tape, then some nutmeg, just throw the sniffing dogs off. Then, you know, put that shit in a hollow body guitar. Send that shit across the U.S. And you've got your dog's ashes. But yeah. Okay. Back to the point about Michelle Obama. So Chris Wallace was even like, he was on Fox News, was even like, that was a heck of a contribution. He was like, she really flayed. This is a quote. She really flayed, sliced and diced Donald Trump. Oh, talking God. About the chaos and confusion and lack of empathy, especially coming from this president and this White House, spoke more about the deficits of Donald Trump than the pluses of Joe Biden, but did talk about especially not so much policies, but especially his empathy and what he has been through and his care for average Americans. The speech was very effective. That did not, you know, again, Donald Trump was upset, not only, I'm sure, by the comments coming from Fox News, but because a black woman was saying things out loud that weren't, Donald Trump is my president, y'all. Please subscribe to Diamond and Milk or Silk or whatever the fuck it is. So everything is seen as an attack. And so he whined on Twitter. He's like, the Obama administration, they were so corrupt. And look what happened. They gave, like, he sort of like, essentially says, you can thank Obama for me happening, because he was basically implying that if Obama and Biden hadn't mishandled the country so much, he wouldn't have had to take over. It was very confusing. But surprisingly, he didn't go too much like directly at Michelle Obama, although there are disgustingly many of his followers have on social media saying like using all kinds of disgusting nicknames and racist shit. So it's America, y'all, and it's an election year.
God, I came in so hopeful to this conversation.
Well, you know, there's still hope. You know, I think, again...
Miles Buzzkill Gray.
Well, you know, I have to... Part of me also, like, I can't... I think because working in politics, I've become so cynical of sort of, like, saying the good thing at the right time, and then when it comes down to, like, throw down, we're just not able to do it.
No, where you
for
at?
Whatever
I know.
Just...
I mean, but the... And the other... And, like, unrelated but related, the other part of it is that I feel like what happens with social media, what happens with stuff like the responses to Michelle Obama is that like the awful humans in our country are louder, but mm-hmm. that doesn't mean there's more. And we don't know.
No,
we don't know the numbers. And so we just are like, it's like psychological to just like get overwhelmed by like, oh, well, so apparently like 90% of Americans are like the worst fucking humans and I might as well leave.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm always like, but maybe, I mean, I don't think that's true, actually. And I think that's part of what, like, what the 18 minutes of Michelle was us just, like, getting to sit and remembering the feeling that there may be absolutely atrocious, racist humans in our country, maybe, quote unquote, maybe, is.
Many are.
And that they're just loud. They're not the majority. They're just fucking loud.
Yeah, and I think it's time for anyone of good conscience to be just as loud with how they vote. And also, if you're in the state of California, vote no on Prop 22. That's the one that the ride-sharing companies are trying to keep everybody as independent contractors while saying, like, no, they love it. They don't. Okay, we do need to touch on this next story because it's very important. WAP. Okay, we saw Ben Shapiro try to take shots in all the pearl clutching that was going on from the conservative media sphere. And also, yeah, like Ben Shapiro realizing that maybe his wife may not know the feeling of sexual gratification. Cardi and Megan have shown that they cannot fall. They do not fall. They only make hits. They cannot miss. The whole thing got completely blown out of proportion because they couldn't wrap their minds about the... just owning their sexuality and being like, yeah, this is what time it is. The Billboard charts show that this song wasn't just like some flash in the pan hit. Like it's a fucking hit. It debuted at number one on the Billboard Hot 100 chart with 93 million US streams in 1 week. That's the most ever. That beats Ariana Grande's Seven Rings, which was Finger Barbecue. I don't know if you remember her tattoo she got.
Oh, yes.
That said Finger Barbecue. Whatever the fuck.
Mm.
Yeah. That one only did 85.3 in the first week. So this is,
this is what I'm saying about the numbers, you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
I showed it to my dad. Mm-hmm. I showed him the music video, and he had already heard the explicit song. And he was just like... y'all can put this on TV. Y'all can put this on TV. I was like, yeah, that censorship has changed. And he was like okay, all right. Because, I mean, the video's pretty explicit considering, you know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah. I mean, but it's like absurdist. Like, it's like absurdly explicit. Like, it's playful. It's not like, it's not like a Two Live Crew video that like came on a VHS tape that like someone got
BET
at like a freaking
uncut.
Party. Yeah.
Yeah, it's not uncut. But it's interesting because we talked earlier
about. It's sexy.
Us lifting up conservatives when we retweet and dunk on them, but also conservatives just uplifted WAP when they made their videos.
Right.
It works both ways.
Yeah, Rush Limbaugh's like, stop talking about their WAPs and their raps, or else they are beating Ariana Grande on the charts. That is a problem. I don't know. I prefer songs where men talking about cunnilingus. That is my preferred type of song. 112, Peaches and Cream. Love that song. Novel, if you remember, Peach. I could eat a peach for hours. That was another great track from the early 2000s. I mean, it's interesting to see the pendulum swing back and forth. But truly, I think was the most upsetting thing for a lot of conservatives. Like, how could they advocate for their own sexual gratification? Like, what do they mean? What is this?
What would it be like to live in a world?
Yeah,
where that was like,
wait, hold on.
Not surprising.
Women,
they're
going to
tell me my pullout game week, my dick week. Oh, no.
Women want to enjoy sex? No, that's why you want to be virgins, so they've never had it before, and they don't have no idea.
What are the other good songs? I think the good hits about men going down are Peach. I think I can only think of Peaches and Cream and that other song, Peach, by Novel. Whatever, however you said his name.
Yeah, because then I'm only thinking of women. Like, Kia had My Neck, My Back.
Yep.
Trina's had some salacious hits about the... You know now, some I can't think of any men. Yeah, men get out. I mean, obviously we know DJ Khaled doesn't go down. He's professed that online.
You think DJ Khaled was like funding these, like, hey, don't make that thing cool yet, man. Cause I'm the man, I'm the king, you know. So the way I honor my wife is saying, how do you like your food? How do you like the house that you live in? And you're like, DJ Khaled, please, sir, figure it out. All right, well, let's take another quick break, and then we'll get back to talking Ellen and Pumpkin Spice everything. You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
And we're back. And the investigation into workplace abuse that was going on at the Ellen show has began to trigger some firings based on like that BuzzFeed and Variety articles that had come out in the last couple months. Three senior producers have been ousted from the show. And this was like a lot of if you read that BuzzFeed article, it was alleging a lot of dark abusive shit that was going on with these, like one producer was grooming another staff member and then eventually, forced himself on them or attempted to. So these are the things that a lot of people are saying, like just on top of what it's like to work for Ellen, the whole thing is just a mess. And apparently Ellen addressed the 200 staffers of the show on Monday to sort of discuss what was going on. This is in Variety. They say, quote, according to multiple sources, DeGeneres told the staff that she was, quote, not perfect, and realized that in the effort for the show to run as a, quote, well-oiled machine, sometimes leaders were not as sensitive to, quote, human beings as they should have been. She added that reading disturbing allegations about the atmosphere on the show was, quote, heartbreaking.
I want to quote Remember the Titans. Attitude reflect leadership.
Wow.
Capping.
Wow, you really went to...
So it's a deep cut for you guys if you remember the Titans, but listen, I don't want Ellen to murder me, so I can't say too much because I know some horror stories, honey. I know many that are very wild. I'll tell y'all when we off the air some of them if I haven't already. But
you may need a voice altered, and it'll be like a Netflix special, like The Drug Trade. It'll be right. Like Ellen Confessions, like I was a PA in 2003. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I need the voice altered. I need my name not to be on it. But we knew that this was going to happen because previously some of her producers had come out as soon as rumors started to swirl, as soon as these articles first dropped, and they were like, listen, anything that happens at the Ellen show is my responsibility and oh, my fault. Like, they came out immediately, right. Like, we're going to fall on the sword. You know, I'm going to put on my best gown to just do a death drop onto this sword. So we knew, like, ew, onto the sword. Like, we knew the girls.
Get down.
Ew. We knew the girls were going to fall on the sword for Ellen. My favorite thing is all the people coming out to support Ellen in these ways that almost seem like I'm, like, blink twice if you, like, need help. Like, Jay Leno was like, Ellen is a wonderful human being. She donated $125 million to charity. She is my friend. I love her. And it was like, who? Right. Jay, who wrote this?
Right.
She's
also
people...
pouring gasoline on my car collection and threatening to strike a match. But I love her. Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I think this is part of, I think as we move into this new era between the Me Too movement and the BLM uprisings and things like that, people are just less about just sort of cowering in awkwardness in the face of just vile shit. And I'm hoping that this trend continues where not only you advocate for yourself, but people are advocating for others and their workplaces or their life situations, because I was saying this yesterday, just kind of about like how The Office sort of encapsulates this mentality of sort of like, man, remember when people say awful shit and all you could do was just be like, ooh,
yep.
And not just be like, yo, shut the fuck up, Michael. Let's go outside, motherfucker, before you like, that's the kind of energetic switch. Not that you're becoming violent, but very much stopping any kind of abuse or mistreatment dead in its tracks, because that's, again, the bare minimum we can do to try and create an equitable tomorrow that we can all get pumped up about.
And now, I know that a lot of white people are very shocked that this is happening. They're like, why is everybody getting mad now? And it was like, well, we didn't get mad before because we were mad, but we just went home and screamed into our pillows at night because we needed to pay rent. So
right, exactly.
So yeah, now there's
like
an
rocking the boat was an existential threat, and now it's no longer rocking the boat. It's like I will capsize this motherfucker if we don't get this shit right. I don't give a fuck because I'm tired of being on this motherfucking slave ship. Okay, now let's move on to pumpkin spice lattes because we need a bit of respite, however you want to say that, from all of this chaos. Last year there was like seismic shifts because pumpkin spice lattes were coming out a little bit sooner than normal. In August, and we're like, isn't this a fall drink? Duncan controversially did it in August, and people were like losing their heads over it. This time they're saying, you know what, we're going 2 days sooner than last year to August 19th. We're turning this thing all the way fucking up. So actually today you can begin getting your pumpkin spice lattes from Duncan. So this is also coinciding with Starbucks also being like, well, fuck, if everyone's jumping on that train, maybe we do need to shift everything up. And when you look at like Starbucks specifically, their revenue fell by like 38%.
Wow. Because that coffee commute is over.
Yeah. And I think it's just it's different now. Like it was almost just like a cigarette break for people to be like, yo, you want to get a coffee or something like that? You want to go down really quick? And even though you don't like coffee, just gave you a thing to do or like a cheap thing to buy so you could like scratch your consumer itch. Mm-hmm. I think that was like kind of the genius of Starbucks. It's like, hey, everybody can buy this little cup and walk around with it, and it's only like a dollar or whatever. So they have taken a huge hit to their revenues. And, you know, I think everything makes sense because it's a huge, huge draw. Like apparently in 2015, there are reports that like the pumpkin spice just industry was worth $500 million just in 2015. Like, if you were in the pumpkin spice game, that was $500 million, like, industry.
If you were slaying that spice, listen, that spice is everything. Mm-hmm. I know we all say it's a basic bitch treat or whatever, but when you get a pumpkin spice latte, I swear, like, Uggs just appear on your feet.
But like, I was gonna say, I mean, like, it's magic. Like 100 degrees today, you know?
Yeah, right.
I'm like, whatever, who cares about the season? But, like, I truly don't actually feel excited about pumpkin spice when I'm, like, I feel like I have an Ugg around my entire body.
But, Zamar, yeah, you in your house. It can be whatever temperature you want in your house. You get you a hot pumpkin spice, you turn the air down to 65 degrees, you put on your Uggs.
Yeah, and then pay your $400 energy bill.
What I just realized is that I have a five-year-old, so I'm, like, always trying to get out of the house with him because, like, it's way more interesting than just staying in the house with him, and we're, like, 5.5 months into this thing. So it's true that now I'm realizing that my pumpkin spice, like, aversion may be due to the mistake of having a child. I'm so sorry. Right. I'm so sorry. I take back all of my
No, that's amazing, because I'm sure the parents out there are like, you know, when we planned this, we didn't know he was going to be in the house for 6 months with this little mofo.
For reals. When the reality of what the pandemic entailed, plus, like, obviously not being able to go back to school, to the kids going back to their school, I mean, I feel like all of my mom friends were like, didn't calculate for that.
Yeah.
Right.
Back up.
But worry not. If it's too hot for coffee and you don't want to go to Starbucks, there are even seltzers, alcoholic seltzers, Vive or Vive. There in September 20th, they are coming with the pumpkin spice hard seltzer. There was, like, a joke last year, I remember, where, like, it was like a meme where, well, there was like a White Claw that was like pumpkin spice, because, like, it was sort of that wave of where the White Claw wave was like, yo, White Claw, and they're like, pumpkin spice. That was fake. But apparently Vive, however, if you want to respect the French language, joie de vivre, you can have this whole thing as well. So,
oh my God, I can't wait to get pumpkin spice seltzer. I cannot wait.
I'm ready. I'm ready to do it. Just drink anything.
I love the idea that they saw the meme last year and they were like, wait, but what if we just
did it? It might just work, though.
I need this.
Wacky enough. Yeah, well, September 2020, you know, we could have a
At
vibe.
Least they're waiting till a respectable fall date.
Yeah, thank you. Exactly. They're not so eager to just start profiting off of our nostalgia, which is actually one of the reasons what, you know, a lot of, like, sort of experts and consumer sort of pattern analysts are kind of saying is, like, we kind of really need this right now because of the pandemic. The, like, you know, like it or not, pumpkin spice season is like a marker of time in, like, culturally, depending on how engaged you are with this kind of nonsense. But, like, it does be like, oh, right, pumpkin spice time. Even though I've been in my home and months are blending together, they're saying, like, this is actually gives people a little bit of structure by doing this. Not that I think these companies are thinking about it like that sort of overtly, but, like, there is this, like, we just do have a need to have these sort of markers of time passing given the pandemic. And also that we have, like, this, a lot of people are just regressing or turning to nostalgia to cope with their anxiety at the moment. Like, it's just a very natural response, because even if we realize it or not, it just helps, like, by reengaging with sort of nostalgic things, gives us a little bit of stability, or it takes the chaos down a little bit more. And that has truly, like, you know, that's another reason where we're almost, all of these things are, I think, kind of swirling together. So it could be a big PSL season. We don't know. But I definitely agree with, like, the nostalgia thing, because I find myself, like, being like, I'm only watching things from, like, the 20th century. Like, yeah. I need to go back.
I watch mind-numbing stuff, for sure. But also, like, I've taken up rollerblading. Now every Tuesday I go rollerblading with the skate gang, and we go out to the park. I'm going to go.
You're rollerblading?
Yeah, I'm rollerblading, but only on flat surfaces, because the first time I rollerbladed, guys, I crashed into a car, slid underneath it, set off the car alarm in front of all these people, and I was like, it's cool. I'm fine. I'm fine. There's a lot of secret hills in LA that people don't know about called every street. Every street, like,
where'd
is
that
a hill
come from?
Like, I got out of my apartment and I was rolling, and I was like, wait a minute, I didn't start rolling. Who's rolling?
Right.
And I was like, ah! But now I ride rollerblade on flat ground at the park.
Okay. I didn't know. Wow, look at you. I gotta, yeah. I gotta find my old rollerblades.
Rock it out. Is this a group activity?
Yes.
Mm. This sounds delightful.
Yes. Wait, I'll tell you after. I'll tell you.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because Ciclavia is so like 2012. You know what I mean? People on bikes. Like,
is
I think we need the bladers.
Or Ciclavia? I have I don't never know. Heard I, that said out loud.
Ciclavia sounds better than Ciclavia.
I like Ciclavia.
I'm sorry. Because of your vibe, Vive, I just had to be like, I don't know. I defer to you.
I always, Miles, I'll always give the bougie pronunciation. You know,
Ciclavia.
Yeah, exactly. Later
That's
on, I
Italian.
Will be going to Popeye's Chicken for a sandwich because I love it. But yeah, I think, I don't know, what have y'all been doing nostalgia-wise? Nostalgia, because I know, based on your tweets, Lacey, we're both obviously watching Selling Sunset. That's done and dusted, but and that's too current. But what are some nostalgia things that you all are engaging in?
This is all way literal. I just spent 2 weeks at my parents' house.
Oh, wow.
I know. It's sort of not the house I grew up in, so it didn't really, like, give me those vibes. But definitely did not expect to stay that long. It's driving distance from L.A. In Northern California, like 6 hours. And my kid and I just, we got negative COVID tests, and we're like, all right, we're going to do this.
Yeah.
We hit the road that day, and the day that we, like, got the text. And, I mean, I didn't know how much clothes to bring. I've never like taken a trip where I didn't sort of have an end date, but it did feel like I was being cooked
a
for.
A kid again? Yeah, right. And you're like, your laundry, you're like, they're like, Samara, pick up your underwear off the
a
floor
little bit,
and put
and
in the hamper.
I was like, oh my God, this is so charming.
Right. You're like, actually, you're my mom now, so I don't care. What about you, Lacey?
Honestly, I could say the same thing. I just got back from being home. I went home too. Well, I went kind of like on my own mini eat, pray, love, like eat, pray, hope. So I went I went to D.C., I went to Jersey, New York, and then I went to Texas. And I know what you're thinking, this is like a COVID tour, but I did it the most safe way. I'm COVID negative.
You flew on a private jet.
I was
going to
say, yeah.
Which is, listen, I know it's bad for the environment, but that's my reparations. If I don't get 40 acres and a mule, I get to travel on a private jet everywhere that I go.
Yeah.
But
on a credit card I found at a DGA meeting.
Right. I will say, FYI, guys, like, Delta is doing a really good job of social distancing if you want to take a flight with them.
Delta's the one I heard about.
Yes.
It's really doing good stuff.
American Airlines is like, get on this bus, you raggedy bitch, and sit on top of your neighbor and breathe in each other's mouths. So fly with Delta.
Because we're American.
Yeah, right.
They're doing it the American
God.
Way.
They're going to be at the RNC too, guys.
Exactly, right? They're like, yeah, on United, we're about to unite these germs with all y'all, so good luck on here.
Now, American does have their little speech that they do beforehand that's like, you have to wear a mask.
I'm not interested in that. Don't cape for these airlines. Tell me about your trip home.
Wait, but did you use multiple airlines on this trip? So this is you like giving us
You
the,
better not, because
yeah.
you better rack that mileage up on one carrier. Why are you spreading it out?
I'm committing to Delta now, but I was,
it's
yeah, I did
pandemic.
Have to do.
Let her do whatever to get across
you.
The country.
Because I didn't buy return flights. Like you were saying, Samara, I just like bought a return flight when I felt like leaving, because they're not spiking like they normally do. So it would be like, I would be somewhere and then I'd be like, I've had enough.
That's like an Uber almost.
Yeah.
You're like, hey, man, you can pull up to the airport. Like, when's the next one going to LA? You're like, I mean, we could probably get you. When you want to leave?
Nostalgic. That feels very 1950s.
Right?
I get myself an airplane flight today.
At the airport, yeah. One ticket to New York, sir. Yeah.
It definitely felt like that. I felt like I was buying bus tickets, where I was just like,
welcome to TWA. Yeah, exactly.
So that was my nostalgia. And my mom was cooking, and we played Pekino, which is like
shit.
Do you know what Pekino is?
I've seen it played. I've never played it myself.
It's like this old school game that my parents love to play with their friends and stuff, where you like use dimes, and it's basically almost bingo, but with cards. But we would play Pekino at the table and spades and stuff. And it just felt like I felt like I was a child again for a little bit. It was nice.
Yeah.
I just realized that one of my moments was this is not the same as playing games. But my parents, my whole childhood, this is like so revealing of me. My whole childhood, my parents got like a physical copy of the New York Times, and they would share it across the table, and just like breakfast was kind of not talking because they were just like looking at, and then they would like hit, they like have it open like a like true newspaper style, and like hit it when like crazy things were going on, and go like, ha, can you believe today? Blah, 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 blah. And they were doing that.
Oh my God, your family's a sitcom.
I was like, what? Are they straight out of Central Casting? What?
It was like 1990 all over again. And I was like, oh God, this is, I mean, it's so charming. And I was like on my iPad scrolling, and they were like,
How's your parents' cardigan game? Are they on point with the knitwear?
I have to like one up you. They're kind of velour game.
Oh, ooh, shit.
That's kind of smooth. Woo! Though.
They're pretty adorable. They're pretty adorable, and they're also very practical. Like they both have like right. like they've gravitated towards one each that they just sort of like wear for 4 days in a row and then like right. launder because no one's leaving the house. They're taking this very seriously.
Wow. She's like, "Yeah, my mom wore a baby fat velour tracksuit with and the right on the butt. We're a fat farm." Yeah, fat farm. Yeah, exactly.
Honestly, my dad's is starting to get holes in it, and I kind of called him on that, and he's like, "I've had it since like the 70s. It's the coolest." And I was like, "I mean, what am I going to say? Great. Yeah. Just keep doing it. Whatever."
Good ad for that if it's lasted this long.
Right.
Samara, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure. It's been a wonderful time.
A dream.
We're learning every day. And please check out her podcast as well, Permission to Speak. But yeah, where can people find you and follow you and do all of that good stuff? And what's
I'm
a tweet that you like?
Instagrammier more than I okay. am. Tweety,
sure.
But at Permission to Speak Pod is a pretty good one. My personal is at Samara Bay, and yeah, I mean all things voice and speech. But I have to say, I define that very broadly. It's about like power structures in America, and you know that's kind of fucking everything.
Oh, yep. Is there a tweet you like or any kind of social media post that you think's worth sharing, talking, made you laugh?
I brought something in from Roxane Gay. She retweeted Ralph Nader, mm-hmm. that guy. And Ralph Nader had said, "I sent AOC the following letter suggesting ways she can broaden her progressive impact and help many people now that she is in the media spotlight. She has not replied, despite repeated requests." And Roxane Gay wrote, "LOL, oh my God, wow, successful woman, didn't talk to man she didn't know who had offered unsolicited advice, so he..." checks notes, implores Twitter to help them. And then she says, "I've lived a good life." So Roxane definitely. Gay is now dead. It's such a bummer. It's such a bummer.
She's great.
That AOC didn't give Ralph Nader the time of day after, by the way, my first voting was when he really like fucked it up for the Democrats. So like,
hey, well,
a lot.
Yeah.
Get those people those seatbelts though. Shout out to Ralph Nader for that. Lacey,
wait, what is
where,
that reference?
Because he was big in the movement to get like seatbelts become standard in cars because people were dying, and he's like, "You need to actually make this the law." And I mean, it's like, "Thanks,
why
Ralph.
Why didn't he just
thank
like
you so much?
Yeah, why didn't he just like let that be his legacy? I'm cool with that. Yeah. You know,
unsafe at any speed was that like the book that he wrote.
Strap in the 60s. To Ralph Nader.
Yeah. Okay, Lacey, what about you, Scam Goddess? Where can people find you, follow you, and be blessed?
Guys, as always, Scam Goddess Pod, anywhere. Scam Goddess on all platforms. You can listen to me talk about scams and laugh. Also, you can find me at D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I Diva Lacey on all platforms. And a tweet that I'm enjoying comes from Yasser Lester, who's one of my favorite people.
Hey.
Donald Trump tweeted, "Save the post office," in all caps. And Yasser retweeted and said, "This would be like R. Kelly tweeting, 'Y'all free them girls from my house.'"
Oh, yeah, sir.
He's so wild. He's a wild man.
Oh, man.
But that made me laugh. It's dark. It's a very dark joke, but...
Any other ones? That it?
I had the exact same, say, the post office, and the retweet is from Jen Caton Robinson, who said, "This is extremely murderer joined search party, not for body in the woods."
Oh, boy. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram, and also my other podcast. Everybody's like, "And my other podcast? And my other podcast?" so many podcasts. 420 Day Fiancé. You know, he's getting high talking about 90 Day Fiancé. You know, really going back in time. And let's see, some tweets that I like. First one is from at Kate Hulls, C-A-I-T-H-U-L-S. She says, "A spicy wine? Oh, you mean a jalapeno?"
No.
Like Pinot Noir. So stupid, but why not?
Yeah.
Another one is from at Ellie Crimendall. The tweet is, "My body is not a temple. It's a storage unit for my regrets." Which is accurate. And then one more, because there are a lot of people who had many funny Michelle Obama takes. This is from at Taylor Crumpton. Tweeted, "When they go low, beat they ass." Shout out to you. You can find the Daily Zeitgeist at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We've got a Facebook fan page, and the Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. So for more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get those podcasts. We also have a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. Thank you so much. Where you get the episodes and the song we ride out on. What are we going to ride out on? Well, it's hump day, right? It's the middle of the week, so we're starting off strong. We need to relax a little bit because Thursday's tomorrow and then Friday and then whatever the week means to anybody, who knows anymore. But this is a track from Lapti, who is a producer who I did not know like anything about. I just came upon this track, and it's super dope. It's called Sao Paulo, and it's I think sampling like Bia, that artist, but she like this is like on a very vaporwavy like 80s like retro beat, but it just, I don't know, it goes. So, you know, relax to this one, do your chores, your laundry, whatever, get your big toe shooting up in your boot, and until then we will bid y'all adieu. And stick around though, later on today we will have a trending episode, but that's it for the normal stuff. Thank you everybody for joining today. We will talk to you soon. Bye bye. Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.